Oh, Sam, I have some advice. I want to start out today's episode with some advice, if you wouldn't mind.
Oh, no.
My advice is don't turn 30 years old.
Why?
Since I've turned 30, nothing good has happened. And today,
that's not true.
And today, for what I want to say conservatively was 45 seconds, I confused a picture of Neil deGrasse Tyson for Stanley from The Office.
I don't think that's an age problem.
I was on Twitter, and I see Neil deGrasse Tyson. I'm like, wow, that guy's so familiar. Stanley looking good these days. And then it, like, 45 seconds later, my brain caught up with the rest of me and was like, that is a different person. That would be Neil deGrasse Tyson, sir. And so immediately I wanted to come on this show and give advice to you and to anyone that's listening or watching. If you can avoid it, I would recommend skipping the 30 age. Just skip it.
But doesn't
if you can.
Your brain only get bigger as you age?
That's I think that's the problem. Brain only get bigger, but head isn't changing. So it's really just getting squished is the issue. Yeah, just compressing my brain. And now I don't know who Stanley is from The Office. I think that's like the first to go. When your brain starts to compress, that's the first thing you lose. Stanley from The Office.
You know what? Even though you're old now, and even though I'm aging as well, you can go back to previous episodes of Genius Bar and see some young versions of us.
That's worse. That's so much more depressing.
I'm sorry, I want to take that one back. We've got some Apple news, allegedly. I don't know.
Mark Gurman, back from the grave?
He is. I will say this at first. I'm a little peeved. I pay $150 plus per year for Bloomberg.com unlimited access. And I have not gotten a new Power On newsletter in quite some time, Mr. Gurman. All right? Now, we live in the same city,
but when he left, at the end of the year, let's say he left for, I don't know, a month. At the end of the year, you'll get that month of payments back, right?
Yeah, I should.
That's how that works.
I think he comes to your door personally
and is like, here you go, for the time I missed.
I don't know, has he been on vacay? What's been up?
You would think that, like, he would say something.
Yeah, like, hey, I'll be back. It's okay. We go to Apple Track for the latest Apple news.
When we take a hiatus, our agency in the biz, if you want to know, people that are inside baseball, they call it a dark week or dark weeks. And you're supposed to report that. It seems as though Mark Gurman didn't get the memo, didn't give us his dark weeks, and just left.
No, but we got this today, which is so interesting to me because it says, according to Gurmy, Apple Intelligence has been delayed publicly until October. So it's not going to be out in iOS 18.0. Like, the initial iOS 18 release is not going to have any of the new AI features.
Can I quit?
No, not yet.
Can we start an Android podcast? Because Android isn't constantly announcing stuff and then going, oh, just kidding.
Yeah, they just announced like 80% of a product and they're like, here you go.
That's all. That's more than what we got. We got 100% announcement, 0% follow through with Apple Intelligence.
The good news, and the thing I'm very excited for, because these are all the new AI features, like the Genmoji, new parts of Siri, image and text generation, and rewriting. Apparently, they're coming out in beta to developers this week.
Okay. All right. We'll take it. Do you think
that's
they knew?
Hype.
Do you think when they announced it, they already knew?
I mean, probably.
They just didn't feel like breaking the news yet?
Or it could kind of be like us. You know how me and you will text each other and be like, hey, working on a video that's going to be out today? And then like 3 days pass.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just what it was. Maybe Tim was like, hey, guys, we're good. And then they're like, oh, yeah, we're great.
Yeah, sometimes you're just in a brighter mood. And you're like, I fucking got this. This is going out. And then you tell your friend. And then the next day, your friend like, hey, no video, I noticed. And you're like, oh, yeah, I'm in a bad place.
Everything's
I've been working
now.
On this video. I haven't slept.
Poor John doesn't even have lights on.
It's terrible. Yeah, I haven't put videos out in so long that the electric company came here and just turned off that half.
They were like,
they're like,
not
you're
anymore.
Only allowed to run this single light and a hair light over there. That's all. My PC, I have a little hamster on a wheel under here going, running.
He's going so fast.
I guess not PC, it's my Mac Studio Ultra.
I was just going to say, did you switch to PC since we last talked? Is no, are you dude. That dark?
Could you imagine? Oh my God.
Are you
I don't
surprised?
Think I will ever have a PC again, actually.
Really? You aren't going to play video games ever?
I prefer console. Like it's comfier. I don't play a lot of games as it is, but when I do it on a console because it's comfier. I got it on a big projector. It's lovely. The sound is lovely, and I'm just sitting there leaning back with a little controller. I don't got to do WASD and mouse, and I don't have to deal with Windows. You have to deal with Windows to play games. I don't.
It's bad. It's bad. It's been a rough week for Windows.
A rough week for Windows.
Yeah, with the whole... remember the whole crash thing?
They don't exist to me.
Bro, you know how, like, every airline crashed?
Well, don't... Why aren't they on a Mac?
That's what I tweeted!
The best Apple campaigns have nothing to do with Apple. It's just Windows shitting its britches constantly. Yeah, why are we running the world on Windows? Because it's cheap? Well, sometimes you get what you pay for.
Amen.
If you're listening to this podcast on a Windows PC, do you think this podcast even serves to Windows PCs? Like, if they hit the play button, will it play?
Legally, it will. Yeah.
Are we sure?
Can we stop that? Can we block?
Can we prevent them? We just need you and I will sit down. We'll record a special message for any Windows users that hit that play button, and the message is, "Nice try."
Do you think Apple delaying these features is a big deal? Apple Intelligence. Are you surprised by this?
No. Are you surprised?
No.
I think it is a big deal that they keep delaying things, but like I can't be mad about that every week because that's what happens to us all the time. I keep trying to say, how many times on this podcast have I said Apple needs to stop announcing stuff if it's not actually ready? But no one cares. No one listens. This is just... we constantly make this bed and then have to lay in it all of the time.
Did you also see, we never really brought up this when it happened, but did you see that, of course an ad.
Wow, what an ad.
Did you see that Apple Intelligence, because of the DMA in Europe, is not launching this year? Are we starting to see? Is the chicken roosting, John?
I think this is the chickens roosting. Yeah, I think they have come home to roost.
You called this one, bro.
This is just, I mean, but I'm not even happy about it.
No, it's like sucks.
Every time I make a video or try to say, okay, I know that this change that they're being forced to do is a good thing and it benefits us, but eventually this is going to be a bad thing, and then you're not going to see that till it's too late. And then everyone shits on me and says that I'm just an apologist or I'm a fanboy or I must be being paid by Tim Cook and his minions. And then this happens, and I can't even be happy about it because I'm just already defeated.
Yeah. So yeah, basically because of the Digital Markets Act, which has to do with gatekeepers and I believe the App Store primarily, Apple...
That's what it started with.
Yeah, Apple says they're concerned about like the privacy aspects of rolling out Apple Intelligence there due to having to comply with these regulations. Let me read their quote. Where it is, the interoperability requirements of the DMA could force us to compromise the integrity of our products in a way that risk user privacy and data security.
I mean, of course. Is the EU happy about this?
I will say, I just think there's a way to do this better than the EU is currently doing it. I'm still very much on the side that like, the App Store is a monopoly in a lot of markets. Not in the EU, though. That's the thing that gets me. It's kind of a monopoly in the United States, if anywhere. I mean, that's the argument that I think the Justice Department has made or is continually making. I think there's an ongoing case with Apple being a monopoly, you know, distributor in the United States. But yeah, in Europe, I don't even think Apple... What is the smartphone share? iPhone share in Europe. Let's see. We got the Google AI. Dude, it says 26%. How are you arguing?
That's okay, but In the first quarter of 2024, Apple held 25% of the market. That's a lot. Like, okay. I'm so tired of saying this. But we need content for the podcast, so I'm going to say it.
Okay.
Eventually, like, I think there's something going on where, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the EU is also trying to mandate, like, that all phones have to have replaceable batteries that require no tools to remove them.
Or I think it's just that they're easily user replaceable without.
And the deadline tools for that is like next year or the year after.
Correct.
Like, it's not even a lot of leeway because they've certainly got prototypes for phones for 2026 already. And now you're asking them to change that for this. It's just eventually. And I get it. He's trying to keep the peace. He's trying to be nice. But eventually, Tim Cook is going to have to draw the line. Even if it comes down to them not selling the iPhone in the EU for a year, 2 years, until they start to play ball a little bit. That's a lot, because 25% of the market share in Europe goes to Apple, so that means Apple loses out on a lot of money too, which is why they don't want to take this risk. But I think at what point is it more worth taking that risk than constantly being stripped of like your own features year after year? I think if they threaten to stop selling the iPhone, even if they have to stop selling the iPhone for a year, eventually, because of how many people in Europe want and demand and prefer iPhones, Europe will have to compromise on its stance too. That's wherever all the best things happen, when people meet in the middle. And currently, the EU doesn't care about meeting anyone in the middle because Apple's doing whatever they're telling them to do right now.
I mean, I go back and forth with it. Because realistically, there's just no world in which Apple, just from a financial standpoint, there's no world. Apple is going to continue to play ball, I think, indefinitely. There's just no way they're giving up billions of revenue. That would look terrible for shareholders. That would look terrible for them. And I know principally that would be great. Like, optimally, Apple should stand their ground and defend some of their principles for privacy and, you know, doing things the way that they do. But I heard a really interesting perspective. I was listening to the talk show with John Gruber, and Quinn, our boy, was the guest that week, who, of course, we love.
Wow, what a powerhouse of a show.
I know. It was a great episode. I was like, how did I just listen? It was the, like, after Dub Dub episode. I was like, how did I just listen to this now? And I can't remember if it was Gruber or Quinn that brought up the fact that maybe if Apple would have just done small steps on their own over the years, they wouldn't now be forced to be making these big steps. Like, maybe if Apple 3 years ago would have been like, hey, in the EU, we're going to give everybody a 10% share of the App Store, you know, rather than being so like just holding on to it grip, and now it's being slowly ripped away from them. Like,
it feels like the two sides were playing chicken and Apple lost.
That's what I'm saying. And I think that was a really good perspective, because I do feel that way. Where, remember, Apple being a dominant player in markets, this is not a new idea, guys. We have been talking about this on and off for, what, half a decade now, 5-6 years? And it just seems like Apple basically said, you're not going to do shit. You're not going to do shit. And then he was like, we're doing shit. And then Tim Cook was like, whoa. Wait, what? What?
Well, okay.
I have to cross the road now?
So your stance currently is that they kind of have to play ball because they're not willing to lose a lot of money. But, like, at what point are they also losing money by playing ball? Like, core features, like Apple Intelligence, is going to ship for everyone else and then have issues in the EU, especially when they're making that a massive part of the ecosystem. And then they can't provide that same service in the EU, is losing money.
I hear you.
So I'm very curious what the straw is going to be that's going to break the Tim Cook back.
Yeah. I'm not sure. It's a weird situation. I mean, we're seeing these pop up everywhere. Japan has got legislation they're looking at for the App Store. There's a few other countries that are doing the same thing. And it does appear that the iPhone is just going to get more and more fragmented. And it's a tough spot that Apple's in, but at the same time, I do think some of this is on their own. I think they were so stubborn financially to the point where, I mean, I will say a part of it does seem kind of personal on the part of the EU. Like, it does seem vaguely...
Absolutely.
Like beyond just business and for consumers. It does seem like there are people in the EU that are like, all right, Apple, you think we can't do anything here? All right.
Like every time this is brought up, a lot of people always say, well, it's not just Apple. Like they're not targeting Apple. It's for everybody. That's such a convenient cop-out for what is actually like a personal vendetta. And they just so happen to include everyone else to make it not look personal. But really, come on. Who's the one company that happens to do all of the things specifically that the EU is targeting? It's Tim Cook.
Dude, this girl hates Tim. I'm just saying it right now. Her name is... This is who is in charge.
Is that his sister?
They do look vaguely related.
They look a lot alike.
Her name is Margrethe Vestager. She's a EU's competition head. So she's basically the one in charge of this whole op.
Yeah, she's in charge of breaking Tim Cook's balls.
And she's doing well. I mean, I will say, like, for what it's worth, to be fair, at the same time, I also am not in the EU, so I don't really... Maybe I'm not as well versed on European politics as I could be.
I'm sure
so
we have listeners and viewers from there. Let us know in the comments. Like, is there something that we are not seeing?
Yeah, is this good or bad? Getting? EU listeners, what are your thoughts on everything happening? Are you satisfied as an EU contender or member? I don't know.
I am very much of the belief that sometimes all people do is they just do the best with what they know. And there's a lot that I don't know. Like, I'm of the belief that we have been conditioned to believe by society that the West does everything correctly. You know? Or like, the American way of life is the most optimal way of life. But I feel like us directly asking people in the EU... I think they might have a different and maybe more educated stance that could help us understand better. Because maybe this is good for them. Maybe they think this is a good thing, and there's just something I'm not seeing. There's also a chance of that. But on the surface, as someone in the industry and as someone in the U.S., this just seems highly personal, highly targeted, and silly.
Yeah. It's very interesting. It's going to keep developing, but... I mean, yeah, with the launch of Apple Intelligence delayed, with it not coming to the EU in 2024, it's, we've seen better days. Okay, next up, John, I want to get your opinion on this breaking news.
Too many episodes of Genius Bar have been, whoa, new thing, here's the new thing, followed by another episode that goes, just kidding, and it's not our fault. They keep pulling the rug from under us. They keep announcing stuff and then backtracking, and I don't understand. Continue. I'm just upset.
I think it's clear that they... Because we've seen reporting, right, that Apple Intelligence... Like, the new Siri... The new look for Siri, it sounds like, is going to launch this week. And actually, I don't know if you saw, but there was a way to like activate it in the first beta. There was some line of code or metadata you could change to sort of make it show. It wasn't the functional version of Siri, it was just the new UI with the rainbow interface.
Oh, really okay. Cool. Yeah.
But at the same time, that is apparently the, like, Apple Intelligence, even in the United States, because of their announcement and how quickly they did it, it is not all rolling out at once. For example, this week, we should actually read through the rest of the article because there was some extra context in here that was pretty interesting. That, like, for example, there's some things that aren't even going to be launching this week. For example, says even when Apple Intelligence launches with iOS 18.1, because this is going to be coming in the 18.1 beta, it will be missing some feature. That includes the most significant changes to Siri, such as the ability to use on-device data to field queries for the system to use what is on a person's screen. So Siri, when this launches won't even be able to do the main, like, you know, you send me your address. And I can't just say, add this to his contact. That just won't be here. Siri will not have the ability to see what's on your screen yet.
That's a mistake.
It's going to be a little confusing, for sure.
Okay, so we can excuse the mistake a little bit, seeing as this is going to beta users, and beta users should have a better understanding. But traditionally, it feels weird that if you're not ready to actually roll the features out, don't change the look of it early. Like, the new look should come with the new features. Otherwise, it just appears like you just made it look different.
And I don't know why I've been thinking about this so much, but I mean, so obviously Apple Intelligence, we're hearing, I mean, I think this is a big deal. We're hearing that users in the real world will be able to try this stuff this week. Here's what I'm curious about, John, especially with this image generation. Am I going to be able to say, give me a massive schlong?
We have no idea. Like, we have no idea the limits, but there's going to be some, right?
Like, I mean,
there are certain things that right now you can ask Siri that Siri just won't even entertain.
Correct.
Anything, I wonder if it'll be like, similar to that.
I don't know, because I see this, and also these images are kind of, okay, here's another one, for example. So basically the Apple says you can be like, why did you just switch like that, Apple? Okay, let's calm down. Let's calm down, Chrome. We've got Layla, which is obviously this person's friend, space, and then an astronaut suit. So you combine these three things and it makes your friend Layla show up in an astronaut costume. Dude, why? I'm going to lose my mind. Why or how are we going to do this right? What if the algorithm gets confused and Layla would have like really dark skin or vice versa? Or what? Dude, it keeps going back. I'm going to lose my mind. But like, what if, I don't know, like, what if there was like a logo or something on the spacesuit that would be like offensive to a certain person? Like, I just think that this is an interesting area that Apple's pushing into, because we know generative AI makes mistakes. Tim Cook is on the record in a quote, I can't remember who did the interview, maybe Wall Street Journal, where he said, we cannot guarantee, and I will never make the claim, that we will not make any mistakes with these tools. So he's basically saying, hey, have fun with this stuff. And I just feel like that is a huge shift for Apple, that they will let an iPhone user generate an image that is potentially offensive,
I mean,
on Apple stuff.
How else can you do this? It's like,
exactly,
in order to offer anything like this, they have to let go of the reins a little bit.
But they've never done that. Couldn't you see some users being like, I'm trying to think of another example of something like, okay, I mean, here's a good one where they show the woman's mom. I'm trying to find, it was at the Dub keynote thing. This one right here, where it's like, I'm going to be honest, that mom has like way more wrinkles in the image than like actually she does. And that could be like kind of
a little bit,
right? Like, no,
but that's,
I mean,
not like a catastrophic error. You know, that's just
true.
That's just a generated image being a generated image. What I'm more curious about is not what Apple does on accident. I'm more curious about what Apple is willing to do, like, based on what they're, like, what can we actually ask them to do? And what is there? I don't feel like we have had any word at this point that resembles anything like, here's the threshold, here's the limit. We haven't been told there's going to be one. So
it sounds like we're basically about to find out.
We're going to find out.
I think maybe you and I are the ones that are about to test this and find it out.
That's what we should do for the episode of Genius Bar. Just find out in real time what the limits are.
That'd be fun. I'd be down.
How far can you push Apple Intelligence?
I mean, I cannot wait. Obviously, I will be super excited to try these out. I mean, this is what I've been most excited for. To this day, Genmoji, I am ridiculously excited for. I think this is going to be a massive feature.
I'm also very excited.
But I do want to ask you a follow up here because
oh boy,
we've been talking about the iPhone 16, and we know that one of the big selling points this year is obviously going to be the fact that it supports these new Apple Intelligence features. Mm-hmm. But something that I've been discussing in my videos is the fact that surely what Apple has shown off so far is just a taste, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Do you agree, or do you think that the iPhone 16 is going to ship with the same set of AI features that you can get on the iPhone 15 Pro?
But I also feel like by that time they'll have new features. I just worry about them being exclusive features because they have a habit of doing that.
Well, I think that's going to be the point. I mean, if we look at the iPhone 16 this year, mm-hmm. why are you buying one? There's not, I mean, the capture button, I guess that's going to be cool for phone. I mean, that'll be cool, but it's, I don't think anyone's...
I feel like that can be said about any iPhone every year. Like it's, there are minor changes here and there, but it's the same phone.
So is like, that
a bunch of people upgraded this year just because they changed the material on the phone? It's just titanium now. That's it.
Well, I think USB-C was a huge step forward. I think we forget how big of a deal that is. I think about that frequently still, actually.
You would. What a sentence.
I would.
I think about USB-C frequently, actually.
But I just, I feel. My logic for this, and I've sort of postulated this in videos, that what Apple has shown us is just, especially, I found it very interesting that it is only the A17 Pro. It is not the A17, which is crazy that the newest iPhone 15 gets zero Apple Intelligence features. That's crazy to me. However, I found it interesting that they even included the A17 Pro. And my thinking is that we've heard that the A18 chip is not just going to be, oh, spec bump iPhone chip like always. We're hearing that the neural processor is going to get, I believe it's been reported like a 40 to 50% increase year over year, like a much larger leap for the AI aspect of the chip. So I guess, you know what, I think maybe I just thought about this for the first time. Maybe the pitch will be all these features work way faster. Like the image generation is 60% faster on the 16 Pro.
And people were already, like, actually angry about it only being available on the newer phones. People already complained about that, saying, like, that was wrong of them to do. So imagine if they didn't give it to the A17 Pro and we had to wait. Mm. Like, it'd be so much worse.
I also just see a future, though, where they say... And to push the iPhone 16, for example, I think something like a Genmoji exclusive to the iPhone 16 Pro, or 16, I should say, would genuinely push people to buy that phone. Think about an emoji with the iPhone 10, right? iPhone X. Like, you know, you got to do the silly videos. It was a fun marketing trend. It was a great way to ship the phones and get people excited about them. Did it actually matter? Do people use Animojis today? No, not even a little bit. But it was a great marketing bit. And knowing what I know about Apple, there is going to be, other than the capture button, right? Which, you know, sounds like it's going to be pressure touch sensitive. You'll be able to swipe on it. Might look a little bit different and whatnot. Look, it's cool. It'll be great for photos. It'll be fun, but I just see some... I think they're going to do something with the new chip inside, with it being so much more powerful to say.
Well,
I would agree. And it's exclusive, so buy the new one.
I would agree because Apple usually pairs marketing as a way to properly explain the hardware. We can use Animoji as an example. It's like, okay, Face ID launched... And you can unlock your phone with your face. But for the average person, that doesn't mean shit. Like the Animoji actually shows you how well it works. Like it's not just they're using the same hardware for Face ID to do this in real time, and it like makes it very easily understandable by the average person buying an iPhone. So I wouldn't be surprised if they did that as well. Like had just some sort of fun marketing feature to just better show off how capable this hardware is over, say, 15 Pro or Pro Max.
Yeah.
We're very analytical today.
We are. I mean, we put on our, we really started off by confusing two people around because we were aging out a bit to really getting, I mean, using our brain to our full. I'm firing on all three neurons right now.
Yeah, I feel my brain working. Yeah.
So that's cool. I mean, Apple Intelligence, I just want to see this new Siri UI on my phone so bad. It like this, just the rainbow around the edges looks so good.
It does look very good.
I feel like I've seen a video, because you have to remember as well, the reason I think this is actually a big deal and this week is a big deal is because we have not, even at WWDC, even for the cool cats that Apple invited to their campus to test, like to do these briefings and get the official Apple look, no one has seen these features work yet.
Good point.
It has been on a keynote in a background.
Yeah, that's a good point.
The image looks perfectly generated, but what happens if I throw in a deep fried meme of myself and say, like, make this.
Wait, you're
like,
right.
Like, bro, will.
There was
will
no
I be...
hands on. How did they. How did they get away with this? And how am I just now noticing? You're right. There was no, like, videos of people after the event being like, oh, this is the hands on. This is how it works. There were none of that. No one questioned it until now. That's not good.
Yeah.
Dirty
Maybe
dogs.
We got a little too caught up in the sauce.
What
I'm always
the
caught
hell?
Up in the sauce. I'm just like a little boneless wing going through life.
Oh, wings sound so good.
Dude, I've been thinking about Wingstop. I haven't had it in so long. The Hawaiian.
We're at that point of the podcast where we're thinking about food now.
We really are.
Last week it was ice cream.
It happens sooner and sooner every week. How was your ice cream last week, by the way?
So
was it good?
So good.
You eat the whole thing.
Yeah. It's not, you know, it's still a Halo top. It's not the ice cream that I want,
but
I'll
take
it.
But it is the ice cream that we need.
It's the ice cream that I need, yeah. Not the ice
Very
cream
cool.
I deserve.
Basically, stay tuned for more on Apple Intelligence. Sounds like it's going to be a big week, and obviously we'll have a lot of coverage on Apple Track and Front Page Tech. Actually, no, we
nope,
won't.
Nope, just Apple Track.
Yeah, just Apple Track. okay, this
is
a big...
It's true.
The iOS 18 betas are changing. This is a big...
wow.
Big update. I wanted to hear your thoughts on this controversial change. We have a new app icon for the Stocks app.
Wow.
I think the mirror actually looks right.
It looks to me that the gradient is reversed and the lines are thicker, and that's it.
Yeah, beautiful. Okay, next up on Apple News.
I'm glad you tweeted that out. I'm glad that there's a whole post about that.
Thank you.
Comparing.
This is a big jump forward. Apple Maps got announced to have a beta version on the web now. So you can go to, I think it's beta... .map. Actually, I'm not going to launch that because that will dox me. I'm going to go to, you can go to beta.maps.apple.com, the worst URL I've ever heard. And you can now try out Apple Maps from a PC or Chrome.
Imagine.
I didn't even think about it that way, but just you saying that, yeah, who is
loading
going
up what? Apple Maps on a PC for what? To show you, I'll tell you where you're going. You don't even need Apple Maps. You're going straight to hell. That's where you're going.
I think some PC users that have an iPhone might want to try it. But no, actually, no, every PC user is like, Google Maps is the best. I wouldn't even look at Apple Maps.
It is. It is the best.
Apple Maps is better. Come on now.
It is on my iPhone because it's default and I just have it, but like... If I had to pick one, like if it was a life and death situation, you got to make it to this place guaranteed or fucking Tuco Salamanca is going to come up and and gun you down. I wouldn't mess with my chances. I would use Google Maps, I think.
Nah, if I'm going to die, I want to die looking at 3D
See?
Beautiful imagery.
You're willing to die, though. That's the difference. I want to take my best chance possible. So I'm using Google Maps.
He wants the big cheese it from Taco
Bell. But if they were like, you got to get all the way over there, and the only thing you can use is this PC, Google Chrome, and Apple Maps, I'll just bury myself right there. Yeah, I won't even try.
Pay your respects and move on to the afterlife.
This is cool. Speaking of afterlife, I was looking at our last week's episode, and you know, for those wondering, we don't do the timestamps of the episode because that would be so much work. I can't imagine doing that, but there is a very generous viewer every week, Shamir Jackson, who shows up for us since the beginning, every week, no fail, watches the episode and gives real-time timestamps and places them in the comments. So for those of you who are like, why don't you guys do timestamps? If you just wait like an hour, usually they're there.
If you wait the duration of the episode, they'll be there.
And I was just like looking at last week's episode, and there is a section. I don't think there's any podcast in the world where the chapter names are so out of pocket, especially for what you're clicking on. It's an Apple podcast, and towards the end, go to like the third one to the end.
We've got one called "How Is Sam Real?"
Exactly.
John's healthy eating.
The next one.
Ice cream talk.
The next one. Cremation versus ground. In what other podcast, bro, does someone have to put that timestamp?
Bro, imagine you start, you're like, oh, HomePod Mini. Ooh, Apple. I'm a big Apple fan. Ooh, they're finally talking about the Vision Pro successor. And then you get to cremation.
Like, what could possibly happen between the Apple Vision Pro successor to that? What happens?
That's right. I'm going to be honest, Shamir. Sam the Neanderthal. I don't even look at these. I just copy and paste them.
Because
I do
beautiful.
Love
the names
I do
are
love
incredible.
A good timestamp. I'm a kind of a timestamp salute, as we say. That's really good. I love.
Well, now he has to like make a timestamp about himself.
About making timestamps.
Oh, God.
That's
this
crazy.
Show something.
So, I don't know. That's cool. It's still not out on Android. Like, for example, there's still no Apple Music Android web or app that works. But
that's cool because Android users don't have the most current version of Android half the time. So, you know,
that's true.
What are they missing out on?
Maybe this is the big story of this week, John. You want to read? Well,
at least it's from the information, so you know you can trust it. For context, the information, people that gave us our first look at Vision Pro 2018, years before it came out, and it was like pretty spot on. I'm going to read it if you scroll back to it.
Sorry.
Apple is moving forward with plans to make an iPhone Fold. According to the information, it's currently set to release as early as 2026. Okay.
Let me pull up the article because I pay for this. All right.
You pay for the information from the information. Credit card expiring soon. Better hurry.
Are they doxing my card number?
Oh, we can't see it on the screen, I don't think, so that's good.
Oh, good. Later. Okay, so we've got Apple moves forward with foldable iPhone.
Oh, boy.
Let's just take a deep breath for this one, man.
Apple is working on a foldable iPhone that could be released as early as 2026, and in recent months reached out to suppliers in Asia to make components for the device, according to two people with direct knowledge of the matter. The phone will fold width-wise like a clamshell, like the people said. That would make it similar to the Galaxy Z Flip, which was released in 2020, which is funny. Because back in the day, I leaked that there's the fold isn't what we think it's going to be. That they're actually working on a clamshell phone, and that's going to be probably the one they go with. Now the information is saying that, but now we're years away from the original Apple's working on an iPhone fold statement, and now I don't think it is a good thing. I would prefer we don't.
Yeah, this is silly, and I...
Insert the jokes about, oh, they already made foldable iPhone, iPhone 6. Just like, you know, getting it out of the way now.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Here's... this isn't happening.
Thank you. We agree?
I'm just saying, this is
okay.
not happening.
Are we going to stand on business?
Let's stand on business. This is not shipping. Here's why.
In the last episode of Front Page Tech, probably months ago, I talked about the iPhone Fold. I said it's not going to ship. By that time, Samsung will be too far ahead. Other people will be too far ahead making actually good foldable phones, and they just shouldn't ship it. Similar to how they screwed themselves with Vision Pro. They arrived a little bit too late with Vision Pro after people have already carved out an accessible market for VR headsets. They show up with obviously the best headset, but it's at Apple's price. So we're definitely going to get the best foldable phone ever at Apple's price.
So it's interesting. We agree, but for completely different reasons. I agree that it's not happening, but I think it's because they're fucking useless.
Oh, I think they're useless too.
Because, okay, just for everybody that doesn't understand why we feel this way, let's just look up foldable phone market share. Okay, everybody?
Oh, no.
According to TrendForce, foldable phones accounted for 1.4% of all phones sold. Okay, let me just repeat that again. 1.4%. Foldable phones have been around for 4 years, and they have not penetrated 2% in market share.
Penetrated.
Do you know why? It's because Samsung can send every influencer. I don't even care what you just said. I'm going to continue to talk over you. Samsung could send every influencer in the world. Z6 Flip, all business play, come to Korea. And nobody's going to buy one. Everybody's going to go, oh, that's cool. They should keep doing that. Damn. Here's my regular phone. Because nobody cares. Because it doesn't actually do anything. And would it shock you if in the information's reporting there is just a fucking fascinating section in the end that I was just
fucking
like, yep.
Fascinating.
Here's what it says. This is just such a great quote.
Okay.
They close out the section on the foldable phone by saying, Apple's designers have struggled to come up with enough compelling features that would make consumers want a foldable phone, especially given its high retail cost compared to non-foldable phones, according to people with direct knowledge of its previous efforts. So even Apple is like, yeah, okay, so it folds.
And then it what?
You can set it up to take a selfie. You can set it up on the ground to take a selfie.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool. What else?
Did we mention that? Have you ever eaten a sandwich or a taco?
I have. I like those things. Yes.
Well, this is technically the taco innovation upon the sandwich.
The taco is a convenient form factor for food.
It is. The taco is a very convenient form factor.
Be the same with my phone. Maybe I'll use it and be like, wow, how did I ever use a regular not foldy phone?
I guess at this point I should get a foldable phone. Do you think that would be a fun video if I switch to a foldable phone for like a week? I'd probably. Oh,
I know of a
I'd
certain particular potential sponsor that you may have that sells them.
It would be very funny.
Sam Cole, sponsored by Samsung. You heard it here first. Congratulations, Sam.
If they sponsored a video, I would do it. If they let me just say whatever I wanted, if they were like, "Here's the talking points," I'd be like, no,
"Yeah, I don't think that's how sponsorships work, actually."
Yeah, sponsors, they usually give you the talking points and like, this is what we'd like you to advertise. And I'm like,
and usually there's like a weird, goofy clause in there about like, don't disparage our product, you know?
Yeah, which that is
silly.
I mean, that's why I'm never doing reviews when I'm doing sponsorships, because I'm just advertising what it is and telling you the things that I like.
Yeah.
That's what a sponsorship is. Hot take. But
okay.
So this is happening allegedly. I'm sorry, I talked over you. Please continue.
I am going to give you a Samsung Z Flip. It has to be your default phone for a year. You can't even look at an iPhone. You don't even know what that is anymore. All you know is fine dining and Z Flip. How much money does it take for you to rock that for a year? Full year commitment.
No amount of money. To give up the iPhone.
$1 million.
No, not even, what?
You're so full of shit.
That's
for $1 million? You wouldn't use a fucking goofy ass Samsung phone? It's just 12 months.
No, I wouldn't. You could say one day. I guess, okay, one day or one week I would do for like $1 million.
12 million. That's a lot.
Dude,
You're not gonna be miserable. $1 million a month.
I would be, okay, I bought my Lambo.
That's a lot.
I bought my house in the hills. What do I do now? I've gotten everything I've ever wanted. I'm bored. I want to earn it on my own volition.
You are earning it. Think about the blood, sweat, and tears you will have to give for those 12 months. Using that phone
will be like torture.
It will be like someone put you in, they tied you to that thing where they lay you down and then they put a bucket on your belly that has a rat in it, and then they make the bucket warm up and it gets too hot and then the rat gets scared so he starts digging through your belly. That's what using a Z Flip would be like for you.
Why did you have to say that on our podcast?
I had to think of a real torture method, and that's the one that came to my head.
Yeah, I don't like that was top of mind for you.
Well, the only two torture methods I know of today are give someone a Z Flip or the rat in the bucket thing. That's the only things I know. Both are the same level of terrible.
Well, okay, I can't name a price. What would your price be?
I'll do it for $1 million.
Dude.
$1 million to do nothing? All I have to do is like spend more time opening up my phone because it's not open already.
But you have to use Android. You have no iMessage, no FaceTime, and all
I ain't afraid to go back.
You in group. Dude, just the idea of like, I've been meeting a lot of new people recently. Just the idea of being like, yo, let me get your number and pulling out a Z Flip. Dude. Like, you look, I'm sorry, and I mean this with love if any of you have the Z Flip. But I think it might be a bit harder to get in the group chats. I will say, I've heard firsthand from somebody that used Android for years. She was like, this is a direct quote. She said, my social circle doubled or tripled after switching to the iPhone.
I mean, that's the best review we could possibly give anyone from this show. If you've been listening and watching for years and you're like, wow, they've never given me anything. There you go.
All those years were worth it. I'm not saying it's right, but I'm also not saying it's wrong.
I think that tracks. Unfortunately. I'm not saying that like that you are less of a person if you use a Samsung phone. You're not less of a person. You're just more of a goofball is the difference, I think.
You're just more of an Android at that point.
Do you think our podcast is offensive?
A little bit.
Like, do you think people sit there and wonder, are they just like putting on an act because they're on camera, or do they mean the things I say? Because if they're wondering, I mean them.
I think that's part of it. Okay, let's jump back to this article because there's a couple other. Let's get out of cancel territory. Let's go back to the article because there are a couple other things that
I mean. I'm trying to get us canceled because that we need content for the next couple months.
True, that's good. That's good. We can do another like.
We can get canceled now. Like. Go away. Come back again. Talk about being canceled. Say. We're not apologizing for shit. That carries over another week. And then we can come the following week and be like, okay, maybe we'll apologize. And then carry that over and then give a full apology. That's a whole month of content.
Yeah. That's amazing. I love the way you think about content, John.
You're welcome.
That's content brain. I'm proud of you. Okay, what I love about the information is they're realizing that they can't just do like only these articles, and they're like, oh, we got to actually share like more detail.
Other updates. This is from the information. A thinner iPhone and a foldable. That's cool. That's really cool. I found out just now that more people than Kuo Ming Chi have mentioned a thinner iPhone. That's pretty neat. And of all people that could have mentioned it, it's the information. And that's really cool. Because they're really accurate. I love this show. I love it.
Did you maybe just by any chance record a video, you know,
there's
before this?
There's a high likelihood.
Is there any chance you're going to do a voiceover dub to fix some of the things you said?
Just, you know, I already know this stuff, but I just, you know.
Yeah, let me just refresh you.
What do you think I missed? How long ago did the information say something?
There's just some interesting stuff. But I love that the information is like, all right, let's just like basically just throw out a bunch of tweets underneath this. And I absolutely love this because I love tidbits. That is like my number one thing you should know about me is I just love these like little...
Yeah, you're a tidbit kind of guy.
Oh, I can slurp that iPhone tidbit up all day. Okay.
All right.
So information says, once again, they've reiterated Apple is going to be adding a new button for capturing photos and videos on the bottom right side of the upcoming iPhone 16. Sounds like it's coming on... This is where things get interesting. I'm going to talk about this in my next iPhone 16 video. So they say that it's going to respond to both touch and pressure for focusing and zooming. So it sounds like this is going to be maybe like a haptic-style button.
I said that in my last video.
Oh, no way.
Wonder how that's I cool. got that.
So interesting.
How did I get that? But missed the part where they mentioned the thinner iPhone.
You gotta talk to your writer, bro.
I know.
So then, this was weird. It says the two smaller iPhone 16 models will also offer a slightly easier way to replace batteries. So it sounds like the 16 and 16 Pro versus the 16 Plus and 16 Pro Max.
So exactly what the EU is asking for again?
Exactly. They said that feature, which will mainly appeal to repair shops and technicians.
Sweet. What a roller coaster of emotions this episode is.
But then I thought this was really cool and something that not a lot of people have been talking about either. The iPhone 16 will also use a larger graphite sheet inside the chassis to address overheating issues that happened initially with last year's 15. Remember when people were like, oh, it's getting so hot.
Uh-huh.
Remember when they said that?
For like 3 weeks or something?
Yeah, and then it just kind of went away.
Yeah.
So yeah, they basically, it looks like Apple has acknowledged, hey, okay, maybe it got a little warm sometimes. So that's cool because less heat throughout the rest of the device, if that's absorbing more of it, it actually could potentially extend battery. Heat generally is the number one killer of battery over time. Fun fact. Then, this was really interesting. It's actually down here, but... it is right here. This was... I was confused by this. And I want you to analyze this with me.
Some of the less expensive iPhone 16 models will also receive the same high-end optical zoom function, known as the Tetra Prism or Periscope lens, previously reserved for only the most expensive iPhone 15 model. Huh. Some of the less expensive... So, the 16 Plus, obviously, right?
Models. That's what's getting me. Do you think that Apple's going to swap the ultra-wide lens on the base models for a telephoto for the first time?
They said some of the less expensive iPhone 16 models. To me, that sounds like only one of them.
No, they said models. They would say, expensive iPhone 16 model.
I'm thinking, like, the plural there is for the multiple units. Like, they're not just making one iPhone 16 Plus. There's a lot of them. That's how I'm interpreting that.
But, okay, so we've heard that the 16 Pro is getting the 5X telephoto tetraprism. Okay, we know that. But that wouldn't be some of the less expensive models. That would be one less expensive
And then, so hang on. Are you telling me that this year, the 16 and 16 plus, the base models, could possibly ship with the Tetra Prism Periscope Lens thing, and then next year, the base model is going to have one camera on it and it's ultra wide?
No, the 17 Slim isn't a base model. The 17 Slim is the most expensive phone they've ever made.
The 17 Slim is replacing the Plus, is it not?
No. Apple's getting rid of the Plus. The 17 Slim is an entirely different thing.
That's what I just said. You just said they're getting rid of the Plus.
Yeah, correct.
So it's a base model.
No. Just because they're getting rid of the Plus doesn't mean that this is replacing it.
They're getting rid of a base model and then not replacing it to base model?
Let me walk you through. Here's next year's iPhone lineup.
Uh-huh.
iPhone 17, 6.1 inch display.
Okay.
iPhone 17 Pro, 6.3 inch display. iPhone 17 Pro Max, 6.9 inch display. iPhone 17 Slim, unknown display size, most expensive price.
Unknown display size?
Correct.
Which one of us has royally fucked up here? Because I just recorded, I said 6.6 inch screen size, is it not?
Is that what they said?
This is what I have on iPhone 17 Slim. Christ, hang on. The episode title internally here at Front Page Tech is called The iPhone 17 Slim Shady, in case you're wondering, everybody. Okay, this is what I got. Approximately 6.6 inches. Resolution, approximately 2740 by 1260. Processor, A19, with the higher-end iPhones using A19 Pro.
That information is from...
And camera, single rear camera, and the Plus is going away, so how does this not indicate that the Slim is replacing the Plus as a base model? You're telling me the Slim is a completely higher-end model with one camera?
So you got this information from... You're getting your sources all mixed up. You got this information from a Weibo post from Ice Universe. I've got the whole thing on screen. You can look at where I'll affirm you in getting this information. So this comes from a table post from Ice Universe, who is a moderately good leaker, hit or miss sometimes. But here's what's interesting. Like, okay, technically it's replacing it, but it's also not, because
what? Bro. Hey, time out. What is happening? in my fucking script, because in the script for the show, as the details are laid out, I'm also provided with links of where those details came from. And this is from Kuomintang's Medium blog.
Okay, I think Kuomintang also said 6.6, to be fair. But
what? So that just goes further to my point that they're replacing the Plus. It's a life for a life, a sacrifice, if you will.
I just don't see them positioning this model at the low end. If it's super thin, that sounds
premium. That's going to be the thing, Sam. Listen. Listen, this is why I'm excited about it, because this is the market to sell it to, bro. Give regular base model buyers an iPhone Slim? That's going to sell like fucking crazy, dude. These are the people that don't need to know what processor's in the phone, what fucking, how many megapixels the camera has. They don't need any of that stuff. They're going to walk into a store and go, that iPhone looks way different than the other ones. This is clearly new and special and better, so I'm going to buy that. When they change the looks of a thing, that's who they're selling it to. That's why the iPhone XR did so well, because it looked like the new ones.
Okay.
No one gave a fuck about a 720p screen or anything like that. The single camera. They're not giving us a single wide-angle camera on a premium model. If they do that, I will switch to a Samsung Galaxy Z Flip.
All right, I'm glad he said that before he looks at the table again. John, would you like to read the price that Ice Universe says the 17th?
Actually, I have an appointment.
Yeah, yeah, you have an appointment with reading the fucking table. Pull up the table and read under the 17 Slim how much it's going to cost, John.
17 Slim. Sorry, I'm getting a phone call.
According to the table, I'll read it for him because he appears to be illiterate.
Hello?
Overnight. Is that
Hello?
Your 17 Slim?
I'm sorry. I have to mute Sam, the co-host. Okay, he's been muted. Go ahead and say what you needed to say. Oh, okay. That's interesting. Sorry, it's Quo. Yes, sir. Very excited to hear. Yeah, it's a wow. No, the pleasure's all mine, sir. It's great to speak to you. You're the true star here, not me. Oh, Quo, you don't need to say all those nice things. You think I'm handsome? I think you're handsome too, sir. Listen, I'm recording a podcast. My co-host is still muted, so. Okay, I'll tell him. Okay, goodbye. Okay, Sam, you've been unmuted.
$1,300 is going to be the price for the Slim. Please explain how regular people are going to appeal to this model.
I would like to say, in my defense, that information had not been disclosed to me before my rant and my promise of using a Galaxy Z Flip. I didn't have all of the details.
It's on the record now.
I don't buy it. I don't think I believe that.
I will say this.
What has Quo been right about prices ever, actually?
This is not from Quo. This
Who is it from?
Ice Universe.
Oh, that's even worse. That's even worse. I don't believe that price. I'm standing on business. You heard it here first. I am standing on fucking business. This is not a premium model. It's not.
I don't know.
And if it comes out as a premium model, what can I do to punish myself for real? Because obviously, there's still people that are like, you did not cut out your testicle when you said you would. Sorry, I didn't cut out my own fucking ball for the internet.
Well, then why'd you say it?
Because I was very confident. Okay.
Yeah.
What I will... If the iPhone 17 Slim comes out, and it's not, and it is a premium model, it's not okay. replacing the 17 Plus. I will allow you to shave my head bald on this show.
Deal. Wait, does that mean if I'm wrong, you get to shave my head bald?
Are you agreeing to that?
No, I can't go bald. I'm dating right now, and I just
okay.
that would.
So are we? It, so even though I'm the only man here that's
yeah,
putting something on the line, yeah,
correct.
Okay. Okay. All right. Remind us next year. I'm sure you will.
But good news, because the iPhone SE 4 sounds fucking sick.
Oh, the iPhone SE 4 is sick.
Dude, I'm going to make a video on this probably mid-August. I don't know, because iPhone 16 is coming
soon.
That's
my next
I want to make a video on it soon, because we basically got the entire spec sheet. And guys, it sounds like this is coming sooner than we thought. According to Ice Universe, and I believe Guo is also followed up by saying similar things for it's coming sooner rather than later. This new iPhone SE is coming between... Well, here's what's interesting, John. You want to know what's interesting?
I would love to know what's interesting.
Ice Universe mixed track record said that this is releasing between March and May 2025. However, John, what if
Apple's,
I told you...
What the fuck?
What if I told you something else?
Tell me.
What if I told you there was another dubious line that the information continues to Mark Gurman themselves because we didn't finish reading through their list? Here's what's really
Gurman
interesting.
Themselves.
According to the information, okay, Apple is also planning to ramp up mass production of a fourth generation version of the iPhone SE. They're going to ramp up that production in October, which suggests a release ahead of the winter holiday or Lunar New Year. According to two people with direct knowledge. Well, here's the thing, John. When you search Lunar New Year 2025, that's February.
Two, That's so many years ago. That's so many years from now. February 20th, 2205 is not... We will be dead.
It's even sooner.
Okay. That's crazy. It's even sooner than 2205?
So here's the deal. According to this information, from The Information, which is... I would say probably the best source of all time, all things considered.
Yeah, like, yeah.
They are claiming that this iPhone SE is releasing prior to February of next year.
Dude, if this launches ahead of Christmas, I'm going to lose it. I will lose my fucking mind. What a baller move that would be.
Dude, let me just read the specs and let me tell you why this is. This phone, and I mean it, is going to be crazy.
Okay.
Here's the specs, according to IC Universe.
Give me the specs.
6.1-inch OLED display.
Okay.
Notch. Aluminum frame. Single camera, but 48-megapixel sensor.
Okay.
USB-C. 6 to 8 gigabytes of RAM. An A18 chip, which would suggest it supports Apple Intelligence. Priced at $500 to $550.
This is why people need to shut their mouths when they're like, wow, Apple just trying to sell phones. They only give the new feature to the latest models. This is exactly what I'm saying. The chips matter a lot. They aren't withholding a feature from you, so you buy the Pro model. That's just what they can start with now. Every iPhone will include it, apparently, including the lowest-end model. It'll start at $499, $549. Don't do $549. If that bitch starts at $499, we got... Things are interesting.
I fear that they might start at $549, but dude, really, if Apple could sell this for $399... That would be...
That's crazy.
Here's the deal. This to me, would be a long-term strategy for Apple. I fear that they're too business-minded to do this because $399 would be a huge eat into their profit margins, right? Like, on paper, business, silly to sell this phone for that, even though I think they could still do it and make it probably a 5 to 10% profit.
I don't think it's silly at all.
Here's the thing. If they got markets around the world that generally don't spend a lot on electronics, places like India... that are very focused on the low-end Android. Like, that is why we see a new fucking Android phone, the Xiaomi QRXR98, every week, because a billion people that live in that country really like these low-end Android phones. That's just what they like. Cool. If Apple could penetrate the market at, like, the $300 to $400 price point, they could get so many of these people hooked on the iPhone.
Yes.
And eventually get them to stay and continue.
That's why
to
I don't think it's a loss. I think it's a brilliant business strategy. Think about even just here in the US, what is it, like 90% of teens are on iPhone?
Yes. Dude,
this is like the iPhone SE, I think we just said this last week, is like the perfect phone for people that have as somebody's first step into iOS. Or as a kid, or like an older person that's intimidated by all these smartphones, give them an SE. It's much easier to like understand and handle. And through that, they are most likely, because the data suggests this, going to upgrade. Their next phone will also be an iPhone, and it will likely not be the SE model.
Exactly. When they get their first job in high school, when they start working, you know, when they're in college and they start making a couple bucks, like, yeah, they're going to buy just a $800 iPhone.
The SE phone is like the grooming phone.
I was going to make such a... Can you believe this? I just want you to hear me say this.
Go ahead.
You could call a phone.
Yep, we're gonna censor that one a little bit. Okay, I like the joke, though. Great joke. I wish we could say it. I wish they could hear it. It's hilarious. It's hilarious, but the problem is it's also true, which is... Yeah, so...
The problem. Please bleep.
We're bleeping it. But it is hilarious. Okay. Everyone should know. Everyone deserves to know your joke was great.
Thank you.
Yep.
Dude, but okay. Knowing Apple and Tim Cook being the little goblin that he is, love you, Dad, but you are a goblin sometimes. I'm a goblin too. It's okay. We can be goblins together. Like goblin like son. I mean, $500 is probably going to be what it is. And I don't know. Just that spec sheet for $500 is
it's reusing
crazy.
The 16 chassis, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's going to be the same. Like, Dude, the iPhone SE has been so outdated. I mean, dude, it's been outdated for 4 years. When they released the iPhone 7 design iPhone SE in 2020, the one that you popped off on, yeah. I was like, this is kind of an old design, but it's 2020, so fair. The fact that in 2022, they released that same design, but with 5G, I was like, really, guys?
Isn't it weird that without that iPhone SE, there might not be a Genius Bar?
Whoa, that is crazy. Because, yeah, that's when I started to hate you because you got more views than me. I still hate you because you get more views than me. Actually, we're pretty similar.
Yeah, we're pretty, yeah. It's evening out. Speaking of us being the same, do you have the same cord as me with a little blue thing?
I was just going to say, did you copy this for me? Because I feel like
I dug this XLR cord out of a box.
Wait, I think you might have stolen that from me because I'm missing one.
No, there's no way. I remember buying these things from Amazon that slip off.
Yeah, from Amazon. Wow, we're just unintentionally.
Did you steal mine?
No.
How do you know?
I don't know. Yeah, it's crazy. We're just perfectly matching. That's
we're just the best.
Cool. Yeah, we are. So yeah, iPhone. I mean, basically, I'm saying, like, even if you're not excited for the iPhone 16, because it's like the same. Genuinely, I am extremely excited. Just we have not gotten a truly new iPhone SE in 4 years,
mm-hmm.
Almost five, because it came out in spring. Like, oh, it is going to be. It's just going to be awesome. I'm so excited for that phone.
I'm actually very excited too. You know what? This is selfish of me, but I really wish they would have just bit the bullet and put the Dynamic Island on there.
Nah, they can't do that.
I know.
That's too pro.
But I just
too pro. I think the Notch is a right and a fair call for the SE. I hear you, but no, there's no way. And that would shock me if we saw a leak.
To me, going back to the Notch is like the equivalent of going back to the iPhone 8 design.
I hear what you're saying.
Like, when the Notch was like the new thing, the iPhone 8 design looked so dated. And I think that's what we're going to have here where... That just looks old.
That's what they want, though. They want to push you to the island, John. They want you to get dynamic. Did you see? Let's close out with this. We got to put Vision Pro news at the end.
Who said we were closing out? I'm not ready.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Hey guys, welcome back to the show. We're opening up. This is okay. We're just starting now, baby.
Let's go. Nobody look down and spoil like the duration left.
Yeah, nobody said look. Okay. Did you see that just out of the blue?
What the hell
Apple
was that
dropped?
Noise? Oh.
Did you see that out of the blue Apple dropped the other Apple Vision Pro environment that we've been waiting on since launch?
Yes, I learned that from Apple Track though.
So look, it's called Lake Vragla, and it's terrifying. Why does this look like I'm about to get jumped by a serial killer on Silent Hill?
Is this like...
Dude, this is daytime. Wait until nighttime. Check out nighttime on Lake Vragla. Bro.
Oh, hell no. No.
I'm about to get shanked.
Nope.
Terrifying.
That is scarier than the Long Legs movie that I just watched.
What did you think of Long Legs?
I shouldn't say.
My review is that I really liked it and they did some things incredible, like the cinematography was insane, but I wish they would have dug into more. There were so many things that they mentioned that I feel like they never dug into.
Yes,
that I
okay.
To learn more about.
With no spoilers.
Yeah, with no spoilers.
I thought it was an amazing marketing campaign for an average movie. I think the marketing campaign was incredible. Nicolas Cage, incredible. As usual. Like, very, very good. It's like none of the actors' fault. It's just, they opened up so many can of worms that they weren't willing to close. And then they just give up the plot of the movie.
Yes. Unsatisfying.
I think they thought it was a plot twist, But then they were like, oh, we're not dealing with anyone that can think for themselves, so we'll just tell them what's happening. And it's so, like, in your face and not good storytelling.
Yeah, just the end was so, like, I feel like the way it ended was very predictable. It's like, oh, this predictable thing that happens in most movies with the bad guy happened. Like, I don't know. It was just
people saying, like, I rarely feel like I need to go to a theater to see a movie right now. And Long Legs is the first movie in a long time where I'm like, I got to see what people are talking about. Because everyone was like, it's the scariest movie I have ever seen. Most terrifying thing. I don't know what kind of movies you guys are usually watching. Because there's a lot of really scary movies that aren't that.
It wasn't. I would say it was more creepy than scary.
They did a good job of making it feel unsettling. Like the environment of the movie, I felt uneasy the whole time.
I still think, and I'll stand by this, I think the first... oh my God, why am I forgetting the name now? It's horror movie... They made like 7 more of them because the first one did well.
Saw?
No. Oh my God. Why
Paranormal am I
forgetting?
Activity?
No, but you're on the right track. Not Inception.
Fast and Furious? I don't know who made seven.
What is it called? Not Inception. It's called... There's like a demon in it.
It's not Paranormal Activity?
No.
And it's not Saw?
Not, oh my God. Okay, I think Hereditary is a really good scary movie.
Hereditary might be my favorite scary movie of all time.
Oh, Get Out is also so good.
Get Out's very good.
Jordan Peele is just...
I'm Midsommar,
looking at literally every scary movie.
One of the creepiest things
Midsommar's
ever.
Good. Midsommar's good. I love how it's just not coming up on any... Like, why is it not showing up on Google?
I will give them this. It felt nice to have an original horror movie. You know, it's not like a remake of an existing franchise. They took some inspiration from other movies, but like, all in all, they tried to make an original idea happen. And that alone might be worth just going to see this movie for something new, something that's trying to be its own thing. It's just sad because like, the potential for this movie was
so
insane.
Okay, the first half, genuinely, I was like, this is in my top 10 movies of all time.
Yes. We agree.
Yeah, I was like, I was captivated. And then the second half, I was just like...
Yeah, it's really just...
Do you kind of feel like you got edged for 2 hours with no
actually.
Goon?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I hate that.
And then at the end of the movie, someone just went, yeah, I'm edging you. They just told me. Like, they just told me what was happening.
I was thinking of Insidious. Oh, okay. I think that's one of my favorite scary movies of all time. I think they played the horror really well. I think they do a great job of not exactly
there's
showing
seven
you
Insidious movies? There's no way.
There's a lot, dude. There's a lot.
Christ. I think I only really saw two. That. I didn't know they kept going.
I've only seen the first one still.
One
dude,
of the
original... Go ahead, sorry.
No, you go ahead. I think I cut you off.
I was just going to say, I think the original Exorcist is not actually scary.
Oh, for the time, I think it was.
Yeah, but now I'm like...
I would say, off the top of my head, scariest movies I've ever seen. Hereditary. The Poughkeepsie Tapes.
Ooh, I've not seen that. What is that?
So... I went through a phase. Hang on. We might as well just change the watermark. I went through a phase as a younger adult where I was like heavy into like independent films, films that had either a limited theater release or didn't have one, because those were the movies that were doing something new. And the Poughkeepsie Tapes is like a documentary that like the whole time you are still second guessing if this is a movie or if it's real. It's about a killer in Poughkeepsie, Pennsylvania that recorded all of his like things that he did on videotapes, and like the movie starts with them finding the tapes and then they play the tapes throughout the movie, and it's just, it feels too real and it's horrifying. It's horrifying. So another like indie film that maybe not a lot of people saw, Megan is Missing. There's a shot in that movie that to this day I cannot go back and see because it messed me up for so long. There's a shot in that movie that is just not okay. Hereditary.
Hereditary's great.
The Conjuring.
I've still never seen The Conjuring.
The Conjuring deals with something that is like the scariest thing to me, and that is hanging. I think that's just the scariest possible thing a human can do.
Yeah, that's fair. There's something that's not super...
I think in terms of scary movies, horror is my favorite genre, but I think those, like if I had to recommend movies, I would go with those.
All right, I'll have to watch those because I really do enjoy those. Okay, to me, Midsommar was creepy. Okay, Midsommar was not like
horror
to me. Yeah. It was just kind of like unsettling. And I will say the thing about Ari Aster
psychological.
Movies, he loves just like the descent into chaos ending. And I get that that works well because like nobody was really doing that. But I feel like it is kind of like when Midsommar started just kind of like spiraling, I was just kind of like, oh, this is just kind of... My favorite genre of movies is... where it's the twist at the end, the psychological
thriller. Yeah.
That's my favorite type of movie. Yeah.
If you can, that's like my favorite type of horror movie, if that makes sense. Like if the horror is leaning more on psychological thriller than it is on like paranormal stuff, oh, you got me.
Yeah. That's how I feel about, why am I blanking on the name again? The one I just said that I liked. Insidious. That's how I feel about Insidious. Is there's a good
The Clovepage Killer, bro. Have you seen that movie?
No.
Okay, Sam, listen to me, sir. It's another like not very popular movie. It's
good
either
ratings,
you can find it on streaming. I'm saying out of all the movies we just talked about, if you're going to watch one, knowing that you like psychological thrillers, don't look at it.
Oh, sorry.
What are you doing? Why would you look? Why would you look at things from the movie that you didn't watch it?
Because
you gotta watch that movie. It's great. It will not let you feel okay for a long time.
I did feel not okay after Long Legs. I was like, is he gonna be? People are turning that into my nickname. People have been calling me Long Legs lately, and I'm like, that's kind of funny.
Oh, it's funny because it's true.
You don't want to know what's so funny is I went into Long Legs and I didn't know Nicolas Cage was Long Legs. Somebody had to tell me. And that
you didn't know?
I was like, man, that actor's great.
Isn't it crazy how like you don't even like...
recognize.
Yeah, in every Nicolas Cage... I think Nick Cage is an incredible actor, but in every movie, I just see Nick Cage. But this is like one of the only times where I was like, that is somebody else. That is a person that's not all right. That was like part of the marketing campaign where, you know, the main character confronts Long Legs for the first time. And in real life, that's their first time showing him to her on set. Yeah. So they were like recording her heart rate and stuff.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, there was an ad where they recorded her heart rate while she saw him in that scene for the first time, and you can hear her heart rate like in real life freak out because he looked terrifying in real life.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. It was a great marketing campaign, and like known that Nick Cage was in the movie, but they didn't like lead with that. That was more of a word of mouth thing that was really cool. It upsets me that this is the first movie in a horror movie in a long time that had that level of potential and they squandered it.
Dude, holy shit. I just looked. The budget for the movie was less than $10 million.
For Long Legs?
That's like unheard of for a movie.
Did it all go to Nick Cage?
Dude, they had to make money off of that.
Yeah, they definitely didn't. That movie did.
Yeah, I guess like the sets weren't like crazy extravagant.
Mm-mm.
They probably just like rented houses in like fucking, where was it? Like Ohio?
It looked good.
Or something? Yeah.
It was a good looking movie. No way do I think if you were like interested in long legs, I don't want you to be discouraged and not watch it because I said this. You should definitely still watch it.
Yeah. Hey, they got us talking about it.
That's true. We're just feeding into the marketing machine, so it must have worked.
It did. Congrats, long legs.
I might put on my long legs today.
Well,
anything else happening in your world?
That's it. I have to call Quill back.
Yeah, I bet you do. Ask him about the price of the Slim while you're at it.
Yeah, I will. But, like, you know, he's not from here, so, like, I'm sure the translation and the price would be questionable.
He goes to, a different school, you're saying?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I'm still standing on business. I will shave my head if this, by some fucking miracle, is not a base model.
Okay. Deal.
You're telling me
that
they have had two base models for years.
Uh-huh.
They're going to take one of those away.
Yep.
And not add one back.
Yeah, you know why? Because nobody buys the second base model. They only buy the regular size.
It is like 10%, which is why they're replacing it.
Yep, that's why they're getting rid of it, because people have realized that strategy. They've tried the four-model strategy of the two lower-end, two high-end for years. They're switching it up. They realize three high-end. More people, freaks like us, are going to buy it. I think it's a genius move.
Freaks like us are not going to buy a phone with one camera on it. We're not doing it.
Yeah, I would. I'd do that in a heartbeat.
And that's going to be your only iPhone for the year?
If the battery life is more than 2 hours, yeah.
Sam.
I'm not a photographer. People are always like, I don't.
This is the same fucking guy that's like, you have the money for the Pro. Why wouldn't you want everything?
Because it's 120 hertz. That's the thing that I care about.
I wish long legs would have got me first.
Cuckoo. All right, let's end it there. We'll see you next week. Shirley.
Thanks for coming to Genius Bar, your weekly movie review show.
We love you.
We really give them everything.
Hey, we did. Full spectrum of human emotion.
Our viewers eat and leave no crumbs. Did you know last week someone on the show? Oh, wait.
Yeah, I can duck it. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Oh, you're sitting there? What are you going to say? Why are you going to get out of here? All right.
Did you know last week someone had the fucking nerve to comment that they're like, what show goes 20 minutes after the ending song, after the outro song? This one does that.
Yeah, I do.
Thank you very much. I had something to say.
Okay.
What was it? It was important.
Not enough.
It was. I still have, you know, have you ever thought to say something and then you get a feeling in your body and you're like, wow, I have to say that something. But then the something vanishes from your mind, but you still are left with that feeling of, I need to say this.
Yeah.
That's what I have currently.
That feeling. Oh, that's a bad feeling, buddy.
It's don't turn 30. I think that's it.
You're going to be 31 in very soon. Actually, what do you want for your birthday? I don't want anything.
Don't say a peep. It didn't happen. I'll be 30 next month. The month after, I'll still be 30. And 5 years from now, I'll still be 30.
If we don't say it, it's not real.
I had something important to say.
What were you going to say? Say it, King.
This is terrible. Is there medicine I can take?
No.
I hope the important thing that I wanted to say wasn't about the guy that left a comment about us talking after the show.
Was it a hater or was it just somebody making a
comment? Oh, it was a hater. We don't have any lovers. They're all haters. Shamir Jackson is the only one that doesn't hate us.
Oh, that's very cute.
Oh, I remember what I was going to say. Hopefully, you didn't skip this. Hopefully, you weren't like, oh, I'll never remember. And then you left. For those of you still here, I just wanted to ask a simple question. Sam and I are using different mics. We've used them before on the show, and then we switched back to the SM7B, and now we're back on the Ethos. I just want to know, do you like it? Do you like how they sound? Would you rather us go back to the SM7B? I just want you to know this is a two-way street. We can have a conversation.
If you want with these.
If you want different mic, we're sticking with them.
Yeah, that's what they said. I actually read the comments already. That's what they said.
Okay, that makes sense.
Just don't want to have to unscrew this from my...
Yeah, that would be just a tragedy.
Yeah.
Having to unscrew a hole, and then you got to unplug it, and the cords already match.
Am I supposed to have mine pointed up like this, like yours?
No, I just don't want them. I want them to be able to see my face, you see.
Oh.
If I just do this, you can't see.
I mean, I can, you can mostly see my face, I think, arguably.
This is a very good microphone. One of the best microphones I've ever used. If anyone's curious, Earthworth's Ethos, it's now half the price that it was when it launched.
Wait, really?
Yeah. They have that shit right in half. They halved it in half.
Checking. No, it's not. It's still $400. What are you talking about?
It was $800 when we first got it.
It was?
Yeah. They were shipping this for $799.
They have a great tagline. They did not sponsor us, but they did send us to these for free. That's what we're talking about.
But they sent them years ago, so it's does it even,
The matte black one looks really good, though. We should have gotten the matte
The matte black wasn't out when we got these, number one. Number two, this is what makes it look different, I think. If we have a matte black one, it just looks like a skinny SM7B, and it's so much more than that.
Yeah, but I don't know. Suit yourself, King.
Okay, well.
It looks like... With you sitting there, it looks like it says the watermark says the Dry Bar Podcast.
It do.
Guys, we'll be back with more Apple news as there's more. I think the past couple weeks were good, though.
I just want to say we killed it.
Yeah,
I won't post this part, but I want to say to you privately, we fucking killed it.
Oh, you can post that part. It's okay.
I wasn't going to cut it out. I forget to cut the ending half the time anyways. Okay, see you next week.
We love you guys. Don't forget to bleep that one part when I made that joke that you
left. I'll bleep it. Isn't this how you destroyed your mic and had to send it in for repair?
Yeah, I touched it. I want to touch it so bad. I must cover
it. Don't touch
it. I want to diddle it.
All right, we'll see you next week. Okay.